Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you for tuning in, and we ask you to stay with us. By the way, we have the radio show on Saturday morning, 6 a.m., Sunday at 11 a.m., and Sunday at 8 p.m. on 107.1, the talk station. We have a page in the County Compass that comes out every Thursday, and we also have the website if you want to come out and visit the website, cctaxpayers.com, and we meet every Thursday, every fourth Thursday at Moore's Barbecue in New Bern at 6:30. Come early and enjoy the food. Welcome again, and we're going to start with
as long as we're mentioning CCTA events, on April 19th, we will be beginning a course. It's a Hillsdale College course on the history of the intelligence community, and we will have a person at that course who will provide commentary who's had in the past a very close relationship with that community. For further information, just send an email to Mary at cctaxpayers.com and I will give you location. It's going to be four Saturdays from 10 to noon.
And I have to prod her to check her email. We're going to start with the elections that are going on. We're recording on April 2nd, and we had some elections back yesterday. And which election we want to dive into? The one in Wisconsin? Yeah. Oh, we got it. Oh, I'm getting signals. Oh, we need to introduce ourselves. Well, okay. I think I'm Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Alan Harrop.
Pat Park.
Okay. Now we're going to go to the elections. Okay.
I'd like to comment on the election up in Wisconsin, because I think it's really symptomatic, I suppose, or symbolic of what's going on with the judiciary branch of government in this country. From a conservative standpoint, and this organization represents conservatives and conservative thinking, we have to be disappointed that this female, very liberal female judge, I guess she was a judge, that she won the election for the state Supreme Court in Wisconsin against an individual who was much more conservative and so on. But the ironic thing about it is that there was a time when judges were seen as neutral in the political arena. In other words, they were supposed to look at facts based on the reality of the facts and the law, and so on. They were supposed to be neutral.
And the existing laws, yes.
Yeah, but what we see clearly, it's becoming exactly the opposite. There was so much money spent. In fact, there was more money spent in that election than there has ever been in any other election for a judge anywhere in the country, as far as I know.
Was it $100 million?
It was $80 million by the Democrats, and it was over $20 million, a lot of which came from Elon Musk and some other individuals. So way over $100 million, just like you said, Pat.
So per capita, that's a
tremendous amount. Why would you spend that unless you are absolutely sure that your candidate would vote the way you wanted them to vote? That's exactly what's going on. And they're anticipating that in the redistricting that's going to come up apparently before or around 2026, that would impact on the district configuration, which could ensure or help ensure that perhaps Democrats can get those seats in the House of Representatives that are currently now held by Republicans. There's two seats that they're concerned about. But what I'm concerned about is this whole notion that the judiciary is just becoming pawns of the political parties. So why don't we just do away with it and just recognize it and just vote people in based on their party affiliation?
When I went to law school and we were learning how the law works, we were told about the importance of precedents. And the reason precedence is important, or so we were told, is to provide for stability in the law. And what you were supposed to do as a lawyer is be able to look at precedents and the fact pattern of your client, and by applying the precedents to your fact pattern, predict what the judge would do if the matter came up before them so that you could properly advise your client. Well, I've been saying for years, telling people for years, now what you do is you find out who appointed the judge. And that's how you predict how the judge is going to rule. So that kills the stability provided by precedents, because now, as Alan said, we have an ideological battle. And this is not good for the practice of law.
Well, we also have, in the case of what we see, jurisdiction has become an issue. In what jurisdiction does a judge serve in? What areas should he or she be able to rule in? And then we also have the problem of, I'm going to say, judge shopping. Because we look at, what's the guy's,
Boasberg.
I mean, here's a random draw for judges, and he should play the lottery because he's won every single.
He's got four Trump cases.
Yeah, I mean, and no, this is just accidental.
Right, right.
And I understand that the Trump administration has appealed his ruling to the Supreme Court. To try to get that stopped. And I also heard Speaker Johnson on a news conference yesterday said that he was going to facilitate the introduction of some legislation that would prevent federal judges' rulings from applying to the entire country. It would restrict their rulings just to their particular district, which... Yeah, it was a logical thing to do, but it does show that not only we as members of CCTA see this stuff, but the legislators, even up in Washington, are beginning to see that this is a real, real problem for this country.
Well, we've seen in the past where the 9th District and the 6th District had exact opposite rulings on some of the things, and then they had to go to the Supreme Court to
right.
finally...
Right, that's one of the basis for the Supreme Court agreeing to accept a case, as if two different outcomes have been reached by different districts.
But when the two different outcomes were reached by districts, that didn't mean it applied to all of the other districts, including the one that came out with the opposite opinion.
Yeah, the law is that a federal court... order applies in his district, period. And that's why, you know, they tried this nationwide thing and nobody told them no. So now I saw today an article about how many injunctions the last five presidents have had. One's had six, one's had eight, Trump has 96.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you know, they have this, I don't know whether any of you folks, listeners and people on the show here ever watch the Newsmax channel. I watch it usually every day. But they have this Judge Napolitano, who used to be on Fox.
Yes.
And now he's on Newsmax. And I have real strong, mixed feelings about him, by the way. I'm not in favor of him, but anyway. It was brought up to him about, you know, he says, well, you know, we don't need legislation to correct this because the Trump administration can appeal it. They can appeal it to the Court of Appeals and they can appeal it. But the point is, all that takes time. All that could take months and months. And by that time, Trump's initiatives in these areas are blocked. So the liberals, the leftists, win anyway. They win by delay.
Yes.
And that's so. It you know it needs to be dealt with
I think the courts or the legislature is a good place to do that because then it's hard law.
Then it's codified.
It's codified, and it's not up to the courts to change it again because the lesser courts were created by the Congress, and the Congress can pass laws that say you can't do this, you can't do that, And so I think it's a good place to go to.
I think it is, too. I was glad that he mentioned the legislation, and he strongly, it sounded like he was strongly behind this.
And we've seen the same thing right within our state. With this certificate of need law, that the appeals court apparently said you need to exhaust all of your legal avenues before you can go to the Supreme Court. Well, which really means you've got to go broke before you can go to the Supreme Court. When in fact we need legislation that says certificate of laws are null and void. Certificate of needs are null and void. Mary.
Now I want to go up to the Supreme Court to another case. That is before the Supreme Court. Right now, they're expected to rule in June.
Which Supreme Court?
The U.S. Supreme Court.
Okay.
It has to do with Catholic Charities. And Wisconsin denied the religious exemption from state unemployment taxes to the Catholic Charities in that state, saying that their activities, like assisting the elderly and disabled, are not explicitly religious nor centered on religious instruction. Now, Catholic Charities has been in existence for a long time, and regardless of how you feel about the Catholic Church, Catholic Charities has done a lot of good work. And to turn around and deny them the exemptions that they would have as a religious organization is ridiculous.
Well, did the opinion discuss what their definition of religious activity is?
Well, one of the things that Justice Kagan, not necessarily one of the conservative judges,
no,
made the comment. I thought it was pretty fundamental that we don't treat some religions better than other religions, and we certainly don't do it based on the content of the religious doctrine that those religions preach. So it looks like the justices will uphold the Catholic Charities' right to for the tax exemptions that other religious organizations enjoy.
Really? That's what you got out of that?
That's what I got out of that.
All right. Well, I'm going to look that up and be interested to see the discussion of religious basis for a religious exemption, because if it's biblical, Jesus said if they hunger, feed them.
Yeah.
Visit them in prison, clothe them, and the Catholic Charities do all those things.
Yeah, and this is, again, they're assisting the elderly and disabled, and the Wisconsin court said that's not a religious activity.
And we have been the country that has donated the most to everything, whether it's war zones or whatever else, mostly because of our religious background, not the individual faith. Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Thanks for listening. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
What's the largest gun shop in Craven County? If you said East 70 Pond, you are correct. Since Drew got back from the most recent gun show, new guns have been pouring in faster than they can open the boxes. The large showroom at East 70 Pond, slam bam full of firearms, new guns and used guns, long guns and handguns. You will find weapons for self-defense, hunting, target shooting, and collectibles. The team at East 70 Pond is friendly, courteous, and knowledgeable, especially in the area of guns. If East 70 Pond doesn't have the gun you are looking for, they'll try to find it. If you want to do a gun transfer, E70 Pond will help you do it right. If you are looking to buy, sell, or trade a gun, there's no better place to do it than E70 Pond. Of course, E70 has tools, electronics, trolling motors, and a great selection of jewelry. But their specialty is guns. And we're talking hundreds of guns. Come see for yourself. E70 Pond, across from Craven County Fairgrounds, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, It's less.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Pat, you wanted to take us down a slightly different avenue?
Well, since we just mentioned religion, the only story that I brought with me today was one that I downloaded today. The University of Portland.
Now that's Portland, Oregon?
Yeah.
Okay.
The University of Portland, theology majors no longer have to study the Bible.
No longer have to study the Bible?
No. Instead of taking a course called Biblical Texts, they can take Queer Theologies, God Our Mother, or a class on the intersectionality of gender discrimination with other forms of discrimination.
Now, what school is this again?
University of Portland.
So it's a secular school. It's not a religious school.
No.
Not like Harvard and Yale. No, those were founded as religious schools.
Yeah, but they're not religious schools.
They're not religious, yeah.
The only reason Harvard hasn't taken down its religious motto is because it's chiseled into concrete.
Well, Georgetown doesn't conduct itself like a religious school either. I mean, when Obama went to speak, they covered up the crucifix.
Yeah. Well, Harvard has a Christian motto carved in concrete as you go in, and the only reason it's still there is because of the cost of getting rid of it.
Yeah. I don't know what you would do with a theology degree from the University of Portland. I mean, it wouldn't qualify you to be a biblical...
scholar in any way.
No, it wouldn't qualify you to be a preacher.
Except in the...
Unless you start your own church.
The House of Good Feeling or as a bartender.
Bartender.
Alan, you wanted to take us in a better direction. We're going to head back to religions.
We need a little help.
Get us out of this hole,
yeah,
well, Alan.
We didn't quite finish the election results yesterday. There was some good news there. There were two seats up for... decision or to be refilled, actually, in Florida. They were both held by Republicans. Matt Gaetz, I think, was one of them, and the other one was Mike Waltz, I believe.
The security advisor.
Yeah, so they left, but now, because of the election yesterday, two Republicans will replace them. That's not a gain for the conservatives in the House of Representatives, but at least it's not a loss. So at least they're maintaining that thin margin that they have. So, and just one other thing about the election. I think did we mention that in Wisconsin that they voted to require a photo ID?
Yes.
Isn't that what they required?
Yes.
That was another election.
That's a good thing.
That's a very good thing. And it was like, I think, 63%. Of the people who voted, so clearly it wasn't just the Republicans, it was the Democrats also.
It was an overwhelming vote voter ID.
I think most Americans actually support that. The only reason not to support that is because you want to cheat.
Well, you know, and there was some evidence came out there. I think with one of those reports that there were, I think it was somewhere close to a million illegals had been granted Social Security numbers. Did
oh, it's
you read
more than
about
that.
That?
I happen
more than that.
More than
yeah,
that.
I happen to have.
Number?
It was 2 million and then 5 million.
I happen to have some numbers on that.
Okay, well, this is
in 2021, 270,000 non-citizens got Social Security numbers. In 2024, 2.1 million got Social Security numbers. Because of the Social Security fraud and everything that was going on with the open border, human traffickers made between $13 and $15 billion during the 4 years of the Biden administration.
But what followed the tranche of the $2 million? The next one was $5 million.
I didn't know that.
The next one was $5 million, and the problem with giving them Social Security numbers, it opens up for them
to vote.
But five other federal entitlement programs.
Well, there's...
Yeah, but disabilities and... Yeah,
yeah, right. Well, part of this, to me, this is related to the Cloward-Piven strategy. Now, the Cloward-Piven strategy was developed by a couple of professors. I think they were from Columbia. And the goal was to overload the U.S. public welfare system and replace it with a national guaranteed income. And I believe that we've seen the effort to totally overwhelm the safety net in recent years. Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid are all going broke. Much of that is because of fraud. Some of it is because of the way they're set up, Social Security particularly when it was set up. They didn't figure people were going to live too long after 65. And because of the demographics of our population, the birth rate, et cetera, the number of workers now supporting Social Security versus the number of people collecting it has shifted drastically. And one of the reasons for the influx of illegals getting Social Security numbers was if you got them on Social Security and you got them paying into Social Security, then what has happened to our birth rate due to abortion would not be so obvious, because part of the reason Social Security is going bankrupt is because we have killed so many members of the future generations.
Well, that's one way to look at it. Another way to look at it is the number of illegals that have Social Security numbers that are not paying into Social Security, but nevertheless drawing Social Security benefits.
Yes, that's true, too.
Yeah, and it does get back to this whole issue of who is a legitimate citizen. You know, because we were just talking a minute ago about the right to vote. If you go, it's interesting, if you go to register to vote in North Carolina, you go down to the Board of Election and you go in, you fill out the form to register. They ask you, are you a U.S. citizen? And you check it, okay?
Under penalty now, of, yeah.
And as a result of that, they assume that what you're saying is telling the truth. Mm-hmm. And they begin the process of allowing you to vote. Now, there's, and I asked the lady in charge of the Board of Elections, well, what proof do you ask for when someone comes up and says that they're a citizen? Well, we don't deal with that. They deal with that at the state level. They deal with that at the state level.
No, they don't.
But she could not explain to me how that was being, how that was protecting the voter rolls.
And DMV doesn't deal with it either. When you get a driver's license and they ask you if you want to be registered to vote, they don't require any proof of citizenship.
And along those lines, the DNC and two senators or lawmakers on March 31st sued President Trump over his executive order that aims to enforce the law against non-citizen voting.
You know, I'm just going to ask a question. You brought up Cloward-Piven just a while ago and overwhelming the system. Now, the system is overwhelmed. What systems are overwhelmed? The IRS is going to have a new system. Since 1995, they've been promising, and I think even earlier than that, promising within 5 years we'll have a new system. Social Security is the same thing. They keep promising that we're going to have a new system. Now, how old is Amazon? Amazon handles more transactions than both of those folks together. Mm-hmm. And Amazon gets more packages correct than they misroute.
Well, that's what I think DOGE is finding that the systems in the federal government are so archaic.
And they don't talk to each other.
Yeah, and you know, so...
It's very, very easy to do some fraudulent practice when you find that path that, oh, nobody's looking down this alley.
Yeah, I was reading an article about about Doge, and Musk pointed out that HHS had 18 different procurement officers for various parts of HHS, and none of their computer systems talked to each other, and they didn't talk to each other when they were, going out with bids and stuff. That's inefficient.
Now, blowing in the cover from way, way back. Now, this is more than 50 years, folks, so I'm not sure. I think I'm out from under. But again, the military had a priority system that you, as an organization, were only allowed to procure certain goods for your unit. You know, if you were a flight unit, you could only procure certain things. If you were a ground unit, if you were a shipboard unit or whatever else, or an emergency unit, you could only get procurement. But there was an informal system called COMSHA. You knew how to barter and trade things back and forth between your units to get what you needed. No, the basic systems did not talk to one another, but the individuals did. They knew how to defeat.
Well, we all watch MASH. Remember Radar?
Yeah.
He can get steaks and lobsters.
Another shocking thing that those along the same area that those has revealed is that a lot of federal employees are issued a credit card that they can use that takes the money out of the budget for their agency or this section or whatever. And that's not monitored. They're buying all kinds of things, and it's like starting a business and giving all your employees a credit card that they can charge things to the business, and then wondering where'd all the money go?
Yeah, and there's twice as many credit cards as there are federal employees, and they had a credit limit of $10,000, and when Doge tried to do something with the credit cards and the court came and said, nope, can't do that, he just went in and set all their credit limits to $1.
Which kind of put a dent in the whole thing for them. But again, that's where the courts lacked common sense and they blocked a common sense maneuver. There may be a need for a credit card, but let's take a look at what we've got and evaluate it before we start just throwing money away.
Well, which court thinks that their judgment is better than a federal employee, or the president for that matter, at deciding what is to be done with credit cards in the executive branch?
Or when I'm going and spending something on a credit card, why do I care what line item it has to go? And that's the accountant's problem. That's not my problem.
As long as it's less than $10,000.
That's right. It's not my problem. Folks, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, thank you for staying with CCTA Wake Up Call.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Thank you again for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Alan, you wanted to take us down the Visa road.
Yeah. Yes, Bob. Thank you. One of the things I want to remind our listeners is that we do have a page in the County Compass, which is a free newspaper every week, and we do put in articles there of interest to conservatives and things that support our organization, the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association. So I certainly encourage you to get that newspaper and read some of those articles, because the articles sometimes allow us to go into more detail about information that might be of interest to you as a listener. But I wanted to talk about something that I recently wrote an article about. It hasn't been published yet, but hopefully it will in the next couple of weeks, and that has to do with visa overstays. The Trump administration has done a fantastic job in reducing the number of illegal crossings since he's been in office. It's down, according to the Border Patrol agency, it's down 94%.
Without new laws.
February, right. Or are down 94% over what they were a year before when Biden was in office. And as you were going to say, Bob, about the...
Without new laws.
Yeah, right. Who said we needed new laws?
It was surely not...
President Biden,
sure.
Remember?
Yeah.
His excuse when they would ask him, what are you going to do about this border problem, which he denied it was a problem, by the way. But he said, well, we need a bipartisan legislation, and we need to go back to Congress. It's Congress's fault. And when Trump came in, he came out and said at his speech to the nation a couple of weeks ago, he said, we didn't need new laws. We just needed a new president,
yes.
Which turned out to be the case. Because the laws were there. They just weren't being enforced. So anyway, so that's a real positive thing. However, there's another aspect of illegals in this country, and that has to do with people who come in on a visa. And a visa is a temporary permit to stay in this country usually for specific reasons. They can vary from 30, 60 days to several years, depending on if you're a student or whatever. But there's a time limit. At the end of that time period, you are supposed to voluntarily go back to where you came from. Now, if you don't, there's a penalty. So if you overstay your visa by more than 180 days, for example, then your penalty would be you cannot come back to this country for 3 years. If you overstay your visa for more than a year, the penalty is you can't come back or can't apply or come back to this country for 10 years. Now, that sounds real good. You know, it's like, well, because the problem is, if you're a person who wants to avoid going back to your country anyway, the worst thing that can happen to you is they send you back. So why should you comply
voluntarily
with this requirement when all they're going to do is give you the penalty is going to be making you do exactly what you're trying to avoid? So, I mean, I don't know. It sounds kind of silly. But the sad part about it is if you look at the numbers, and I did the other day when I was just researching this article, there are currently, or were in 2024, over 1 million people in this country who have overstayed their visas by varying amounts. We have no idea who these people are. We have no idea what they're doing. And they just continue to stay in this country. And unfortunately, what we've also finding out, a lot of these people are Chinese nationals. A lot of them came here on student visas. And the student visa process has really grown dramatically, especially with the Chinese. In 2002, there were 60,000 Chinese students in this country on visas. Now there are over 400,000, okay? And these people are taking up beds in our universities that should be given, in my opinion, to American citizens, not these 400,000 Chinese. And the problem is that they've the Epoch Times, which is a conservative newspaper, they reported the other day that the Chinese government now requires their students to agree to assist their intelligence operation while they're in the United States. So they are getting free tuition, they're getting support to come over here, but they have to agree that if they're asked to do something that the spy agency for China wants them to do, they must do it.
The other part of that, Alan, is that our universities are happy to take the Chinese and other students from other countries because they pay full freight. So they pay full tuition, and then that gives the university the leeway to offer tuition grants. Mm-hmm. And, you know, lowering the tuition, yep, for other students. So that's one reason for the increase in Chinese students.
Yeah, and they're coming from all over the world. China's not the only people sending students here. But the Chinese are particularly concerning because for two reasons. Number one, they have arrested several of these students that have been trespassing on military bases.
Yes.
And they go there with cameras and other devices, I guess, gathering information. And there's no reason, for example, why those students who are here, these Chinese, they couldn't be getting drones, sending drones over the military bases, gathering information. So there's that issue of security that is certainly legitimate. By the way, in comparison, they have China has 400,000 students here. And I'm sure they're not sending them to America to think like Americans, to take in the American culture and go back to China and try to educate China about how America operates, okay? That's obviously not their objective. But the thing is, when you look, well, how many Americans are going to Chinese universities? 700 was the last count. Mm-hmm. So they've got 400,000, and we have 700 of our people. I think there's a reason that China's doing that. And like I said, it's not because they value our culture.
Part of the problem here, though, is the difference in our educational system and how well we teach our students versus some foreign countries. For instance, one of our kids went to a top engineering school with very strict requirements to get in. She's a bright kid. She got in. Of the 15 or so kids in her engineering group, there were probably two Americans because the school was having trouble finding Americans that meet their academic standards.
Well, you don't have to give
Russians, they were Indians, and they were Chinese.
Yeah, and you don't have to give them a remedial reading course or whatever.
But yeah. So here's the deal. So those schools accept these foreign students. They don't solve the problem. The problem is our education system is not producing enough students that are capable of learning that material.
That's
problem should be addressed. You don't address the problem by bringing in people from another country. That's so destructive. It might work for the university. I understand that.
Yeah.
But the long run for the country,
it's not good.
And the other thing, too, is these students, when they're in these universities, they're not just sitting in classrooms absorbing information. They're probably working kind of as I did when I was a graduate student, working in the labs and the research areas and so on, and they're probably being exposed to information about advanced technology and other contracts. A lot of our universities have contracts from the federal government, from the military, Department of Defense, and so on technological advances that could be used or might be used, mm-hmm, for military purposes. And there we have these Chinese students in there gathering all this information that we already know they're working for the intelligence, for the Chinese intelligence agency, and we're just allowing this. And we know the Chinese are great at stealing other people's secrets. They do it in private industry all the time. So, it's time we wake up and realize that you know, China is a country that needs to be monitored, and we need to assume the worst, because that's what they're up to.
There was an article this morning about one of the German politicians, and he was complaining about Trump's America. And he was positing that Americans will be escaping from Trump's authoritarian America to move to Germany. he's expecting a big influx. But when the story got down to how many Americans had moved to Germany, the answer was 3.
While we're talking about colleges, let's talk about the student loan situation for a minute. The Federal Reserve Bank of New York has reported that 9.7 million borrowers have fallen behind on their payments for student loans.
Oh, by the way, I just want to insert this. We have Obama to thank for the fact that these people that are not paying their student loans are putting the bill on us taxpayers.
Because he moved the program.
They used to be private loans. Now they're taxpayer-funded,
yeah.
So every student that defaults on their student loan, the taxpayers pick up the tab.
Right.
The only saving grace that might prevent them from defaulting on their loans is the fact that it does a job on your credit report.
Baby does it.
And part of the reason that Obama wanted that shift was that some of those students applying for student loans privately and to private banks and so on could not get them because they were very poor candidates for the likelihood of repayment.
They were credit risks.
They were credit risks. But now that risk, like you said, Mary, has just been passed on to us, the taxpayer.
Right.
And there's so many students that have gone to school part-time and then quit or whatever else, and apparently there's no real repercussions. I know when it was private industry, you look at University of Phoenix, I think when a bunch of students quit, some of those private outfits said, you're paying us back.
Go ahead, Pat.
The Department of Education was saddled with collecting student loans. I don't know where Trump is going to move that function, since he's divvying out all the things that DOE is supposed to do. But I can tell you, having had student loans, the Department of Education, once they start collecting from you, they are determined to get that money. They report it faithfully every month to your credit report, and your late payments ding your credit report, and your number goes down, down, down. And you can't get rid of your student loans in bankruptcy unless there's one grounds. You've got to be, you know, paraplegic with no job to get a court to agree to relieve you of your student loans. So you can't get rid of them in bankruptcy. The student loans stay on your credit report 10 years after you make your last payment.
Wow. You know, they're saying that if your credit rating is 760 or higher, this ding may be an average of 171-point drop.
It's huge.
And if your score is below 620, it may be about 87-point drop. Folks, you're heading into the cellar.
Well, you're not going to get a mortgage.
No.
You may not be able to buy a new car.
No.
You may not be able to get an apartment. It's bad news.
Folks, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, thank you for staying with CCTA Wake Up Call.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to sponsors and supporters. Mary, you wanted to take us to Argentina.
Argentina.
Okay.
The president of Argentina, who took office during the past year or so, immediately cut government spending and did all the things that Trump wants to do that the courts have blocked him from. And as a result of that, the poverty rate in Argentina has dropped from 52.9% to 38.1%. Argentina now has a trade surplus. The inflation rate is the lowest it has been in 5 years, and it has a budget surplus. This is a beautiful example, and I wish the courts would get out of Trump's way.
Well, if you saw the video clip of Musk getting the chainsaw of bureaucracy, that was the president of Argentina.
Yes.
Was trying to give him a message.
The other thing,
I'll give you the gas and the oil to run it, and I'll sharpen the chain.
Yeah. So now everybody's talking point, the liberal talking point, is scalpel, not chainsaw.
Yes, I think we need both. The other thing I wanted to talk about. Remember about a month or so ago where J.D. Vance went over to Europe. And he talked about the fact that free speech was in danger in Europe, and everybody got really upset. Well, a French court just prevented Marine Le Pen, the leader of the right-wing National Rally Party in France, and the front runner in the 2027 presidential election, from seeking office for the next 5 years. They have put her under, house arrest?
Mm-hmm.
And they prevented the candidate in Romania from running from office. He's another populist candidate. And they've arrested the president, or in the process of arresting the president of Brazil, another populist candidate. Seems to be a pattern here.
Well, you know, the pattern also extends if you go to the UK. Now it is illegal to think that you're praying.
Oh, yeah. They arrested a woman for standing outside an abortion clinic. She wasn't on their property. She was across the street, and she was standing there. And a policeman came up to her and said, "Are you praying?" And she said, "Well, I might be." And she got arrested. I mean, that's insane.
The UK has just gone off the charts.
Well, we did that. Didn't we arrest people for praying outside the Planned Parenthood places? We're doing the same thing. So we can look at these other countries and say they're extreme. But they can look at us and say, like, just like this lawfare, we try to, not we, the left tried to keep Trump from running by making him a felon. How is that any different than a judge ordering the person can't run? You're doing basically the same thing.
They try that in Congress. Is it the 14th Amendment?
Well, you want to disqualify? Yeah, but the 14th Amendment, which gave the rights to the Negroes to vote. It was a Civil War Act to give citizenship.
If you participated in insurrection, you couldn't run for president or something.
Couldn't run for office. Yeah.
They tried that one on Trump.
Right.
This is not good. This is no way to have free speech. And we are America under Trump right now, and Argentina and possibly Hungary and Italy right now are the last bastions of free speech. And it's interesting that Trump, the president of Argentina, and the president or prime minister of Italy have formed something of an alliance because they know that they know what they're up against.
Well, let's be realistic here. What are we dealing with? All these things that we're pointing out are efforts by the left, and I'm talking about socialism, okay, communists, to take over these countries. And unfortunately, we have the same thing going on in this country. We have these extremists like Bernie Sanders, AOC, these other people that are advocating the same movement, trying to get us to move to the left. The ironic thing about it is that if you look historically, no communist leftist regime country has ever been successful. And yet we're going down this same path. And it just boggles my mind that the people don't see it. It's like this green energy nonsense. I hope that most rational people realize that man's activity is not controlling climate change. But I think that there are some conservatives, or people supposed to be conservatives, that believe that. They go along with it. For example, I heard riding over here to the show today that they just approved, in the process of opening up, an extremely large solar farm in Greenville, North Carolina, right near the airport. They're opening up this big solar farm. What are we doing that for? We know that it's not a source of energy that's
not consistent.
Ever going to be an advantage to our society, and yet we continue to do this. And if you look at it, there were Republicans who went along with this, conservatives who go along with this nonsense.
Well, we've got they're well-funded. Whoever's running the left right now is still well-funded to disassemble any semblance of a republic. And we're not sure where that funding is coming from or where that PR is coming from. We know that the mainstream media has an agenda itself. Speaking, they're not there to report.
Yeah, speaking of funding for leftism, I'm interested in the outcome of what Musk said. We know who is funding the Tesla takedown. We know who you are, and we're coming for you. And inferring that they're going to be prosecuted and they're going to jail. And we know the names of some of the organizations.
The perps and the orgs.
One's called Indivisible. One's called the Disruption Project. One of them.
And yet they think progress is destroying somebody else's property.
Right.
And that's progress.
Well, private property is not important to socialists.
Yeah, and if we're going to destroy Tesla, we can put 100,000 people out of work. I mean, that would be progress.
Well, you know, I mentioned this, I think, on one of our shows where Tyrus on the Greg Gutfeld show said MAGA needs to step up and buy 5 shares of Tesla. So I stepped up and I now own 11 shares of Tesla. Because when I did the fund transfer, I didn't think it went through, so I did a second one. So now I have lots of money to spend on Tesla stock. And it's going up and down. But Musk doesn't own that much stock in Tesla anymore.
No, he only 15%. Yeah. 12%. It's quite low. Really.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
who are they hurting? They're hurting the average investor, the people who have their retirement 401ks in the stock market. That's who they're hurting. They're not hurting Elon Musk.
Yeah, and they're not hurting Tesla by screwing with those cars because they've got to be fixed. They're screwing with other liberals who bought the cars to begin with. The whole thing is just so stupid.
And they're going to be all upset when the insurance rate goes up to
fix those cars. Have you noticed how many of the protesters are old people? They're like, I read an article today and it said, well, these are the hippies from the day when they were cute and saw them protesting, you were like, oh, that's cute. Look, there's Cutie Pie. He said, they're not so cute anymore. Okay. And it doesn't make the protest enticing.
Okay. No, they can't wear their little cutoff tops and their tight bell bottoms anymore and have it look reasonable at all.
No.
Now we've got to
talk about penalty. Are we stopping the show?
No, we've got about 3 minutes left for the show.
Just briefly. It's somewhat related to the topic we're discussing, and that is penalty for misbehavior. And Pam Bondi came out a while back and indicated that they were going to try to reinstitute the death penalty for various charges that have been excluded from the death penalty, violence, terrorism, these kinds of things. She also came out a couple of days ago and indicated that they're going to prosecute this Luigi Mangione character who shot and killed, oh, it was Brian Thompson, think his name was, who was the CEO of United Healthcare, just shoots him in the back in the middle in New York City, and they were going to seek the death penalty. And I hope they do, because if anybody deserves it, he does.
He does.
And
I just wish that the whole death penalty thing could be streamlined. Having worked in the Department of Correction for 30 years, I saw a lot of people, they got on death row, and for a long time they stopped all the executions. But after that, it would take 10, 12, 15 years before they went through the appeal process. By that time, people don't even remember who they were or what crime they committed.
Now, just before we close out, anybody want to throw in something on tariffs? Where are we standing on tariffs?
Well, as we're recording this, President Trump is speaking at the Rose Garden talking about the tariffs. And it has come across that a couple of Republicans will vote with the Democrats to undo President Trump's Canada tariffs. There are some of the Democrats that don't want a tariff on Canada, and some of the Republicans, unfortunately, the usual suspects, are voting with the Democrats.
How can they stop his tariffs?
I don't know. I mean, they think they can do anything. We don't know if it's legal or not.
I heard that one of those people, and I don't know this for sure, so if I'm wrong, please forgive me, was our Senator Tom Tillis.
He's not listed here.
He's not listed. Good.
He's not listed here.
But
Canada has tremendous tariffs on products coming into the U.S., and I see no reason why we shouldn't.
Coming from the U.S., yeah.
Coming into the U.S., and I don't.
No. Their tariffs are our product going there.
Okay, so we need to have reciprocal tariffs, don't we?
That's what Trump's trying.
And if you're ever going to balance, have trade balance corrected, the trade deficit with Canada, we import more from Canada than they import from us. So they are getting richer from us. We're getting poorer because that money we're giving to them is enhancing their economy and depleting ours.
Okay.
And with the tariffs that have been there, we've seen a lot of companies saying, "Oh, we're going to move manufacturing back to the U.S."
Yes, we have.
Which gives jobs for us, both in Hyundai was $2.2 billion. Yeah. Folks,
hopefully next week we'll have an opportunity to pursue this more and find out exactly what Trump's doing.
Very good. Folks, again, thank you for staying with CCTA Wake Up Call Show.